Hello, today we have a guest who is basically the fairy godmother of conscious business finances, Kelly Marshall. Kelly is a bookkeeper and a financial coach who helps women entrepreneurs take charge of their money, ease their financial worries, and grow healthy, profitable businesses without losing their soul in the process. She's also a certified money breakthrough business coach, and she's obsessed with helping people use their money to create more joy, impact, and freedom. Kelly's worked in corporate accounting, built her own business, and now blends her strong intuition and financial expertise to serve purpose-driven entrepreneurs. And speaking from personal experience, Kelly has an amazing intuition and mindset around money. She always makes me see another side to it and feel so much better if I'm ever doubting something financially. When she's not working her magic with numbers, she's busy at home in Buffalo, New York, with her husband, her daughter, two dogs, a cat, three fish, a crested gecko, and seven hermit crabs. And so, yes, she's officially a pro at managing chaos in every form. I can't wait for you guys to meet her. Welcome to The Raw Edit, where we keep it real, raw, and ridiculously fun.
We're two photographers who've seen it all. Blurry shots, perfect poses, epic travels, and those WTF is this lighting moments.
Whether you're behind the lens, in front of it, or just trying to figure out what the heck raw files even are, this is the podcast for you.
We're talking about the good, the bad, and the unfiltered truths of building a photography business that doesn't just survive, it thrives.
Think travel adventures, tips that actually work, behind the scenes chaos, and maybe a little tea about what really goes down on shoots.
We're dishing out all the secrets from nailing your dream shots to running a business that doesn't make you want to cry into your SD cards.
No fluff, no filters, just real talk, a few laughs, and maybe a little chaos.
So grab your camera, your Diet Coke, and join us for the Raw Edit. All right, listeners, welcome to today's episode. We have Kelly Marshall with us. And Kelly, please introduce yourself to our audience if they don't know who you are. If they don't, they should. But give us a great introduction of who you are and where you're at.
Well, thank you. So I'm in Buffalo, New York, and I am the owner of TerraCare Financial. The foundation of our business is a bookkeeping business, but we like to say we provide guidance beyond bookkeeping. So that's our tagline. And, you know, that's really where my passion is. I love to work with conscious business owners, which to me, that's purpose-driven business owners. And I like to help them with the part of their business that they may not love. And so that's what I'm here for, to kind of bridge that gap for them, because it's an important part of their business. I want them to do well and feel good about their money. And when it's a scary part of their business, like it is for many of my people, then they're not feeling good about it. So we like to bridge that for them and help them get more comfortable with it and ultimately make more money and keep more money and then go make a difference in the world with that money. I'm also a mom, and I have a 12-year-old daughter and a wonderful husband that works full-time in the business with me, and many little critters in our house.
Yeah, I love that you have all the animals. And don't you work at like a what do you call that? Not a cat home.
A rescue.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like you go in.
I just started. I used to be an animal rescue before Lily was born, and, you know, then is on... you know, busy mom. I didn't have time for it. And we used to foster dogs, and I didn't think that was smart to do with a baby. And then I kind of got away from it for a while. And I just started this past October bringing that back. And it felt like a part of me came back alive. And Lily's been joining me in it and loving it. We've fostered some cats, and I call for adoptions, and I sometimes go over to the rescue and help clean and do the non-glamorous stuff. And all just to kind of help them out. They're doing a beautiful thing, and I just get to play along and help as much as I can.
I thought that was super cool when you said that. Yeah. I, you know, there's a need for thing like people like you that do that. And I love that you like to actually do it, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know, like that fills a cup in you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it for sure does.
Perfect.
Yeah. I would be afraid that I would come home with too many animals.
Or could it like
happen?
We almost kept that. Well, when Lily was born, we had four cats and three dogs. And I don't know if we had fish or anything at that time, but it did. That was kind of a problem. This time we're trying to have better boundaries, but we were going to keep the last mama that we had. But my mom and stepdad kept her instead. So, you know, you just farm them out to your friends and family, and then you don't have to actually keep them.
Yeah. We had a hamster once, maybe two. but it kept getting out. And I was like, we couldn't like have the cats in the house. Not that we do sometimes, but not very often because I'm allergic, or the mice traps up because I'm like, I'm not going to catch this family hamster and then have to explain it to the, it was like a week that it was gone and we couldn't find it. And I was like, yeah. And that happened twice. And it, I realized it likes to go right underneath the dryer, I suppose, because it was warm. Yeah. There's like a cabinet in there. But anyways, side note, sorry. Totally tangent of mine. But okay, Kelly, let's get into it.
All right.
You believe that conscious businesses need to prosper for communities to thrive. Can you talk about why money is not just nice to have, but essential for conscious businesses to create change?
Yeah. Well, I really feel that this really gets, you went right to my purpose here. I really feel that people, I'm going to say women, I want to open it. It's more than just women. Obviously, there are a lot of men in conscious and purpose-driven businesses, but there's actually studies out there that women will spend into their communities and will spend in ways that are aligned with their values. So if we have conscious business owners out there making just not just money, but doing it in a purposeful way. So they're often changing the world through their work, even if it's in small ways, like helping somebody feel incredibly beautiful in a photograph that they're then using in, into the, you know, bringing them into the world. Even if it's in small ways, they're changing the world through their work. But when they make good money doing that too, then they spend it back in their community. So that might look like hiring somebody else and supporting them and a whole family. That might just look like, you know, voting for things with their dollars at the grocery store or at the local businesses and things like that. So there's many ways that that kind of ripples out into the world and makes a difference versus when we think, I'm not going to get political here, but when we think of the antithesis of that, where it's like keeping money for themselves and not sharing with others and not making a difference in their communities, we can see examples of that. That's the opposite of what conscious businesses do. So I'm really about growing more conscious businesses, purpose-driven businesses, because I think that's ultimately how we change things and how we do get more money into the hands of the people that make the difference. And we're finding, even with the kind of chaos that's out there right now, this is going to get too big and too philosophical for one podcast, but I think we're finding like that there's going to be a big shift at the end of all this when the dust settles of whatever's happening. My optimistic viewpoint is that there's a big shift and more people are kind of like taking that into their own hands and creating their, you know, getting in charge of their future and then growing their conscious business and making a difference with their money. And we can't do everything through volunteer work, right? We can't just give away all our time. We have to have money. Money, like it or not, there's a power that comes with money and we want the power in the hands of the people that do good with it. So the more that I can help people with that, the more that I can support a conscious business so that they can grow and make that difference, the more on purpose I'm being. Yeah. That makes
sense. That is awesome. Yeah. I love that. I love putting money in the hands of business owners who make a difference. Mm-hmm. I love that. And do good. I mean, that is a powerful statement right there. Doing good for others.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. You've worked with both the big corporation accounting and the small conscious businesses. What's the biggest mindset shift that you have seen?
For me or for?
For yourself when you make that.
Yeah. I think a little bit I was born with it because I was an entrepreneur from a little, like as a little girl, you know, with garage sales and selling raspberries and, you know, different things like that. So I was always like kind of a natural entrepreneur. But I had to believe in myself and I had to believe that I could build something that met the vision I had for myself. And then I had to go do it. And I had started the business in 2004 and I started it, I kind of had a foot in a corporate job and was starting the business. And, at that time it was just bookkeeping. I didn't have the technology and I didn't have the awareness of what I could build that into. So it was very much like just creating a job for myself where I was truly trading my time for money on an hourly basis. And I started that and then had an opportunity to join an investment advisory firm, and I ended up slipping kind of back into corporate, not really corporate. It was still small business, but it was much more corporate-like than what I created myself. And so I did that for 8 years, and then I was pregnant with Lily, and I went back into banking and did that for a while, and I left banking to ultimately go back into small business. And I think I really had to align the business model with what fit my dreams. Like I didn't want to just create a job for myself. I wanted to create something that could be bigger than me, that could help more people, that didn't just trade my dollars for hours, you know, my time for dollars. So I think there was a lot of mind shifts in there. But probably where I really started to get traction in it was when I believed I could. You know, there were coaches and people I worked with that believed it before I did, and they saw that future for me, and I kind of fought it a little bit to some degree. And then all of a sudden I saw what I could create, and maybe the biggest piece was missing was that I found a purpose in helping my team, creating a place where my team could come in and love it. And as soon as that part of the purpose came in, we started growing in a significant way. So, I actually remember it. I was working with my friend Dina, who does some kind of breakthrough coaching, and we uncovered this why, and it was, this is pretty vulnerable. This is going to share a big one. But there was somebody that was on my team that worked very part-time. She had worked with me for years before, and she still was doing like 2 hours a week, or 2 hours a month. But I had this vision of her at that time becoming a mom and working in my business as a mom, where she had ultimate flexibility, could work the hours she wanted to work, could make great money, all those pieces. And that vision is held, and she starts with us on June 30th. And at that time,
wow,
yeah, that's big. And at that time, I didn't see the path to that, but I knew I had that purpose. There were other people that have kind of come in and been aligned with that. But everybody here loves to do the work that we do, loves the flexibility that we have, cares about the values of the business, understands the mission that we have for conscious business owners. And they're just happy to be here. And I think that might've gone in a different direction, but just to understand kind of what has got us to where our trajectory is now, that like aligning that purpose. And then that helped me with my mindset. It made it like, it just made it matter in a different way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Mindset is everything. It trickles into every facet of your life. And I think when you can uncover and unravel what it is that's preventing you from changing that mindset shift, it's huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
And doing the work. There's a lot of work involved with that.
Yeah.
Deep work.
It's actually probably my favorite part of entrepreneurship is that we get to develop as people. So that personal development through kind of professional development, I think, is the piece that I love the most, because it means there's never a day that's boring. I guess I'll say this. When I was in corporate, I would always feel like I was like bumping up against something. Mm-hmm. It was like a box that didn't fit. Mm-hmm. And or I'd be bored and I'd think, oh, I got to get that next promotion. So I'd go chase that promotion. I'd get it for too long. I'd kind of feel the same way. And I think my husband was scared when I started the business, I would start to feel that way. And here we are, we're over 7 years in. And now today do I feel that, because we go get to learn something new, or, you know, you're at the next level and you have to figure out a new piece of it, or, you know, my clients level up with me. And so we're talking about something different. And so I never have that, because it's so authentically me and us. And it's always, I'm leveling up to the next thing and having to conquer that. And I think it's one of the gifts that comes with entrepreneurship. It's also one of the challenges and the struggles. But, I love it. I want to do that anyway. So why not do it through my business? You can write it off then. No.
Yeah. But it's the deep work that I feel like people are scared of. Like it's that deep, or they don't know how to go and do that deep work. Yeah. I think there's two folds there. One, they're scared. And two, they don't know how. That's when maybe somebody like a coach comes in and helps you get to the root of that and figure it out.
Pull it out, like unearth it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love, Kelly, that you're not like
push money, 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 save, 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 save. Because like you and I've had many conversations about like, I'm like, maybe I should be doing profit first. And you're like, wait, Kelly, what are your goals? What are your goals again? And my goals were, as you know, education and travel. Well, all my money went to that. So how do you do profit first if your money is going to other goals? And like just understanding, you know, that those goals are okay if that's what fulfills your cup. I mean, because I mean, typically,
let's make sure everybody knows I love profit first.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Sorry.
Yes. I do love profit first and I do. I love it at the right time. What I don't want people to do is try to put it in when it's not the right time. And then it's just an exercise and it's frustration. And it isn't for everybody all the time. You know, most people will come a time where it's the right fit. But it would have just been an exercise, you know? And
Yeah,
it'll be interesting. We're going to talk about sacred money archetypes, I hope.
Yes.
And we'll get into some of those pieces too, I think.
Yeah. I thought of something because I don't think we put this in our thing for questions, but you know, if for the listeners out there, Kelly is my bookkeeper. I think I mentioned that when I did the intro, but we've been working together, I think for at least 2 years, at least.
Yeah.
And since then, you've added on kind of like a community-based type thing, and you have a day of Voxer, which is huge to like be able to talk to you if we need to, and get you know answers in real time, basically. But can you explain kind of what your vision for that was and how you think it's going and stuff, Kelly?
Yeah, thank you for that. That's going to give me a chance to reflect on that. It came out of a conversation. I was looking for where to go next with my business. I knew I didn't have it quite set up to scale properly where it was. And I actually hired a coach who's in the accounting world. She has a tax and coaching business that looks a lot like where I want to be, except that tax piece. We don't do taxes here. And she did a great session with me where we went through like all of what I do, why that matters, why do they come to us? And the big piece of it is that I wanted to go, like, I really believe in good bookkeeping, a quality bookkeeping. So that's for sure a pillar of it. But any bookkeeper should. They don't all, but they should. The piece I think that's unique is I also do love to support people through the coaching and through maybe helping them grow. Some of it's practical. Some of it's just the mindset piece, not just. Some of it's the mindset pieces. And that wasn't available at the level we're at without me charging a whole lot more. It wasn't available for most of our clients, you know, because it would be one-on-one. And I didn't love that. And I didn't feel like I could scale that because I'm only one person in this part of it. I mean, I have a great team, but they weren't doing that part. And so we came up with the idea of adding a group coaching element. So we do once a month, we have a call that's very money mindset focused, but it couldn't just be that because not everybody wants to talk about their finances in a group call. So I added Voxer, which is like a walkie-talkie app for anybody that doesn't know, Voxer office hours, so that if Kelly has a question that's specific to her situation, she can bring it there. And that's a little bit of coaching, a little bit bookkeeping talk, like a little bit money mindset, whatever, a little bit personal, whatever comes up, that space is there so that people have access to me and I don't always love this word, but in an accessible way. I was going to say affordable. I hope it's affordable too, but it's for sure accessible for people. So it kind of meets them where they're at. I still have a level that doesn't have that. That's just bookkeeping only. Because again, I believe that people should have access to really good bookkeeping, but for those who want a little bit more, are looking to grow, this is our middle tier. And then we have a higher tier where they do get the one-on-one and more of a CFO level. So that's where that came about and it's going well. I'm always looking at the format and still kind of working out the piece for the monthly calls, but I know people get a lot of value in the Voxer coaching time. And then we also review reports. I walk through everybody's reports and I think they get a lot of value out of that too.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's fantastic. I mean,
thank you.
Yeah, I think it's great, Kelly. You're a certified money breakthrough business coach. For those who aren't familiar, can you explain what that means and how that coaching blends in with your bookkeeping expertise?
Yeah. Good question. So that's a program by a woman named Kendall Summerhawk, and she also created Sacred Money Archetypes, and I'm certified in both. And that came about because pretty early on, I learned or decided, and some of this has stayed true and some of it I've kind of come to value the bookkeeping more, but I learned that bookkeeping alone was not going to do what I wanted to do for people, much like what we were just talking about with my offers. And that I really wanted to find an effective way to support people with that. And two of my clients at that time had taken Kendall's programs and had raved about it. So I looked at it because if I just try to coach somebody in the way that works for me, or the way that Profit First says, or the way that any money guru out there says, I may not be talking to the things that matter to that person. I may not be supporting them in a way that is going to match their values and their drives and how they see money. And so Kendall's programs really provided a foundation for me to coach people where they're at and how they think and speak to their drivers. Like a lot of my people, a lot of conscious, purpose-driven people, they're really into their passion and their purpose. And they have this little knowing that there's that chance that profitability could be there. But that's really last on their list or third on their list. Like there's a knowing, but there's a lot of money blocks in between that. And so by knowing how to speak to that and how to help them get through that, I can move them in a way where they can have results instead of just trying to hammer in the practical stuff or speak to them in a way that's not how they're driven. Somebody, and this again, we'll come back to the sacred money archetypes, but somebody might be really driven by the impact piece, and we have to find a way to align that for them, because I can give them money goals all day long, but if that's not what's important to them subconsciously, they're not going to get there. So that's where that piece really came in, and it's been so valuable. I don't know how I could do the work without having that and Profit First as a simple cash flow piece and then the bookkeeping. It really has come together in a way I couldn't imagine when I started the business. Yeah.
Yeah, that coaching is very valuable. I mean, as business owners, not every person is the same. Like everybody right. is different. Kelly and I are very different in what we do. I use Profit First. She doesn't. It didn't work for her, mm-hmm. but it works for me. And I love that you offer that type of coaching to meet them where they're at in their business and yeah. what their needs are. That is awesome.
Hey, photographers, let's talk about the secret sauce for unforgettable travel sessions. It's location and light. You can have the most stunning clients, but if the spot is off or the light is harsh, it's game over. That's where my travel scouting guide comes in. In this freebie, I break down exactly how I find the best locations and plan for perfect lighting every time. From apps like Sun Surveyor to help you track down the sun, to All Trails for uncovering hidden gems, I've done the trial and error so you don't have to. This guide will save you time, energy, and let's face it, stress. Ready to scout like a pro? Grab the freebie using the link in the show notes, and let me make your next session your best one yet.
Or the Root to Rise, one of the two. Yeah, I think you've done both. Yeah, but yeah. This is pretty incredible. Can you just give us a quick overview of what they are and why they matter in our relationship with money?
Yeah. Yes. So Sacred Money Archetypes is one of my favorite tools. And again, this was created by Kendall Summerhawk, but it's based on there's a name for the archetypal system it's based on. I can't think of who originally created it. Doesn't matter. But when we think of archetypes, any assessments that we take, anything out there that we take, it just helps us be seen in a way that gets underneath just the stuff that's in our head, like just these ideas that we've created in our head and repeated over and over. These assessments get deeper than that, and they help us see ourselves in a new way. And with the Sacred Money Archetypes assessment, there's eight of them, and we'll get into those, but it helps you understand, I call them your money filters. It helps you understand your money filters. And your money filters are the things that you're running every money decision through. And like you said, you and Kelly are different. So when you are presented with the same opportunity and you run that through your filters, you're going to have a different answer. You're going to come to a different conclusion. You're going to make a different decision. And when you don't understand those money archetypes, you don't know what kind of challenges might be sabotaging you in those, or, you know, how you could, what strengths you could lean on to make your way through whatever money situation is. So when you understand your archetypes, there's like a pattern that you get with archetypes. So if you think of like mother, nurture, mothering, that's kind of a, there's a pattern of, there's things that you just kind of recognize, or there's one that's ruler. When you hear that, there's just certain things you can assume. And so by having the archetype, it helps you start to recognize, in kind of using that archetype to recognize patterns, to understand how you tick. And then the work can go a little further where you can help it understand your strengths, so that you can lean on them in your challenges, so that you're, they're not sabotaging you subconsciously.
I'm so glad we're having this conversation, because I feel like I needed this reminder.
Yeah.
Of these archetypes, to go back and look at mine. Mine is an accumulator. What is yours, Kelly?
I have the celebrity, I think the ruler, and one other one that's kind of like celebrity. I can't remember what it was. Do you remember, Kelly, what
connector.
That would be? Okay.
I'm pretty sure you're connector.
Yeah.
We could look that up. But
yeah.
Yeah.
And Sarah, I remembered your accumulator. I couldn't remember what your other two were.
But I don't remember what my other two was, but I knew accumulator was one of them. I'm one of those that just wants to save, save, save. And then there's Kelly, who just wants to spend, spend, spend and be a celebrity. So this is the two of us. Like, legit. This is the two of us. We could be so polar opposite of each other, but it is so, it's incredible how these are, it's just, it is.
Yeah. So just think of that statement. So there are even people who can, because we all get our top three. So there's eight archetypes. Our top three drive the majority of our decisions. We all have elements of all of them. But even in yourself, somebody could have accumulator and celebrity. And those two things, and maybe we should just go into them now, but just this concept of like those two things can create conflict, much like they could when there's two partners working together. But they also create balance. So as you were saying that, that was the thing that came up to me, is like, how great is that? You balance each other out.
Yeah,
you know,
we do.
Kelly can push you to, you know, take a chance on something and make an investment. And you can push her to be like, but we could do this this way, and we could save money on this. Like, I'm sure you already do that. They're both giggling. So I know you do.
We do.
And that can happen in romantic relationships and business partners and teams of people like that. It's really nice to know, because think of how frustrating that is if you do have that and you don't understand that you just tick different. You're just going to get angry at each other. Mm-hmm. Like, why can't you see this? Well, they have a different filter. They don't have your pair of glasses on that they're making decisions with. Right. And so that's, I think the biggest piece of that is the understanding for ourselves first, and then in relationship with others second. And then you can use it in all different kinds of ways to kind of break through blocks again, or to have conversations, or to find a new way to approach that you're more aligned with what you really want.
Yeah.
It's really powerful.
How does understanding your is it archetype? I always say things wrong. So I'm always like,
archetypes.
Okay. Archetypes.
Yeah.
How can that, help people not just make money, but, make more of it, or save more of it? Or like, I'm not asking this question very well. Sarah, help me out here.
I can just jump in. I think I know where you're going with that. But it's different per archetype, but there's, we have something called an empowering money mindset for each. So why don't we maybe talk about each one, and then, and I'll even share that this is a free quiz on my website, so we can give them that link that they can get there. But each one of them ticks a little bit different. And so I'll talk about them. I'll talk a little bit about the strength. I could talk about this for 3 hours, so I'm trying to keep it really short today. But we'll highlight kind of a strength and then a challenge. And then I'll maybe talk a little bit about how that, you could see how that could shift, could really support you with your money. So I do have a little cheat sheet over to my right, so you'll see me looking over there. But the first is ruler. Again, I mentioned that in the example. So you think ruler, you think leader, certain or decisive is kind of a thought that comes with ruler. They're highly driven by achievement. And what a ruler really needs to do is kind of learn to enjoy the ride a little bit. They can burn out. They can just be seeking the next thing and be pushing and pushing and pushing. And in the empowering money mindset with ruler is to bring in some grace and ease. So what I find with my rulers often is like, they just want to have a little fun with money. They just want to find the joy in it. Accumulators too, Sarah. they just want to experience it. Like that's what their deep craving is. So if they just keep pushing, they burn out. They're maybe making decisions from the wrong place. And adding in that grace and ease can really lead to more success with them and just help them enjoy the ride a little bit more. The next is accumulator. That's that natural saver, our Sarah. And accumulators are really driven by security, by responsibility. When they're kind of in the shadow side of that, there can be a lot of judgment, not just towards others, but it can be often towards themselves, and they can just get lost in that judgment. It can impact their decisions that they're making. When accumulators are stressed, they want to control their money. Like that's something they're comfortable controlling. And if I'm talking about this a lot, probably because you're here too, Sarah, but like an accumulator, because there might be a part of them that values this, but they also might value something like there's a risk taker on here. They can have that conflict, and it just kind of keeps them in this judgment place and can keep them stuck. So that's something to watch with there. So when they can move out of that, kind of recognize, okay, I've got enough little piles of money over here, I can go make this investment and really grow. Then that can be really healthy for them. The connector is a relationship builder. I think, Kelly, this might be your third one, but it's either this or alchemist. The connectors are just a natural relationship builders. People want to come back to them again and again and again to do business with them because it's just so natural. It feels good. They want to be in relationship with them. They have faith and optimism, and people feel that and really enjoy that. There's an innocence and a trusting that comes with them that's just really beautiful. But they want to stick their head in the sand when it comes to money. They don't want to open their bills. They think about somebody seeing their money stuff. My one connector will just start sweating. when we were starting to work together, I had asked for passwords for stuff, and she started sweating. Like, it just having, like, opening herself up to somebody to see her money stuff was scared the heck out of her. So with a connector, the only way through that is to get more comfortable with money. And so the more they get around money and get comfortable, I think I'm really good with connectors because I'm kind of a safe place to do that. Then they start to build the trust in themselves and feel more confident there. And that's really the best way through it for money with them. Alchemists, I attract a lot of alchemists. Alchemists love positive change. They're all about transformation, all about creating positive change for them, for others and themselves. They also are really good at seeing possibilities. And those are the ones that really have this inner knowing of what their potential is. Like, they know they could do this. They know they could make a lot of money, but they have a love hate with money. Their work is the service of their heart. And when you start to attach money to it, they feel like a used car salesman, and it feels gross. And nothing wrong with used car salesman. That's just that expression. but they know they have the possibility to make that money, but they hate charging it for the service of their heart. So for the alchemists, we really like to get them dialed into their impact. And just like what we were talking about at the beginning, like, the better we do in the world, if we're a person that does good things with our money, the better we do, the more we can help others. And the alchemists can sometimes lose sight of that and feel like, well, I don't deserve to do well when other people aren't. But if they put themselves in a position to fulfill that goal that they know they have, that potential they have, then they can help the other person. They can put a hand down and raise them up instead of just being in the trenches with them, Mm-hmm. So that's a real big shift for alchemist. The maverick is the risk taker. I see this a lot in entrepreneurship because we have to have a little bit, not everybody, but most of us have to have a little bit of this in there to take the leap to start the business. Very comfortable, most often comfortable with complex financial deals. But they can gamble with financial security. So for a maverick, it's my number two, and it's really close to my number one. It's really important to create kind of that bread and butter income that you can rely on that takes care of everything. And then you can go have fun with the other stuff. So that's where my bookkeeping, because it's a nice recurring revenue business. That's really my bread and butter. And it's when I leaned into that, that also really helped me in my business because I learned this about myself. So I'm an example of this. That creates that stability. And then I can go do a pop-up or I can go do coaching and I can go do other things that don't have kind of that same model. And that's what I really recommend for Mavericks. Because it allows us to still have the fun, but know we're safe. Celebrities, that was one of Kelly's. Magnetic and confident and really, really good at helping others make a great impression. And that's just kind of a natural gift for celebrities. The challenge there is if they start to spend for status over security. So it's really easy to slip into that. And one of the big things there is really recognizing and sharing with the people that matter to you how you can be rewarded in ways that are not just money wise. So like really even for yourself, like really recognizing yourself and kind of filling your cup with love and, you know, there's a word I'm missing here. My brain is thinking body positivity, but that's not really what I meant, but mean like that self-love, can really kind of stop that need, that status will kind of come in and fill, in a way that if it's not aligned with their financial security, nurturer, that's my other top one. So nurture is all about being caring and compassionate. We love to be reliable. We love to be needed until that we kind of overgive, even if we're not asked to overgive. We like to overgive because that's kind of feeling that I'm needed. I'm even more needed. But if it doesn't come back to us in the way that we expect it, we can get into kind of that martyr side and be like, well, I did all this for you. And the person didn't even ask for it. So for nurturers, it's really about creating boundaries and recognizing that boundaries don't necessarily feel good to us to set. But if we can recognize that it helps the other person too, it really will create better relationships for ourselves with people. This happens with time and money and everything. In fact, in all of these cases, we're often doing this with in more than one area of our life. It's not just money. This kind of spills into other areas too. And then the last one's romantic. And romantics know how to enjoy the pleasures in life. Very abundance minded. And the challenge with romantics is that, and this is my third, we can get into that little brat kind of, I always think of it as a brat, like, well, I deserve it. So I'm going to go get it, whether or not I can afford it, you know? And, that's kind of like that thing that'll bubble up for us and that like very much the I deserve it energy, and ignore the consequences of that. So I find for me with my romantic, that the more I create systems like Profit First, where it takes that piece, like I don't have to make a decision about it every time. Like first that money goes somewhere else. And so at least that removes that decision because left to my own devices, I'll go enjoy the pleasures of life with that somehow. And so systems have really helped me with that. I also find that it helps to get connected with kind of why you might be saying no to something now because you want something later. That really helps with romantics too. Because they're driven different. So
romantic was my other one, Kelly. I looked it
is
up.
It?
But Maverick was like, that was close. One that was really close to being on my list too. But yeah. It's fascinating.
Can you,
what are yours, sir?
Mine was number one was ruler.
Oh, okay.
Number two is connector. Number three was accumulator.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we've seen a lot of your number three, not in a bad way, but that's probably also been like, there's nature and nurture and that's a long conversation. Don't let me get into that too much, but you've probably exercised the muscle around accumulator more in your life for whatever reasons, but that, and maybe it has served you well in some ways. So that's become a part that you lean on. But I can see the ruler too, and like the decisiveness and the ability to build your systems and things that you do. I don't see the connector as much, but there's that balancing out too. Your accumulator is balancing out that connector, which is really helpful when they're in conflict, when the judgment is happening more than the balance, that's when that could get challenging.
Kelly, can people's like, I'm going to say this word wrong, archetypes, what? Okay, say it again for me.
I say archetype, but archetype, that, I think they're both right.
Yeah. Okay. Can they change?
Or do people's change or not really?
In general, I would say no. Mm-hmm. If we take the assessment looking at the life, at the whole of our lives and think about how we would answer that for most of our lives, then they're going to stay the same. If somebody is just kind of hardcore in a budget season of their life or something and they take it, they're going to skew more towards something like an accumulator. It doesn't mean it's their nature. It means what they've learned. And so I like to really encourage people to take the assessment from that point of view of like, how have you been the majority of your life, not just the season you're in right now?
Do you see certain archetypes more common amongst entrepreneurs like photographers or creatives or not?
Yes. That it's very interesting. I work a lot with coaches. They're almost all have alchemist in there. I work a lot with photographers, thanks to Sabrina. There's more celebrities in photographers than there is in other groups I've worked with. But I think that makes sense. You know, you love to help other people make a great impression. So that's a part of that piece. And that might also be Sabrina's world because she's a celebrity. So she might attract in other people that have that. I do see Maverick in most entrepreneurs, but certainly not everybody. And beyond that, I attract a lot of connectors because they want that soft support for their money. And I think I offer that piece. So there's no hard rules. I've probably worked with every single type. But if I was to create some generalities, that would be where it is. Yeah. And I do want to say, like, there's no one archetype is destined for success more than another. I used to, when I first started, have like accumulator envy, because that's not my natural, like that's my bottom archetype actually, which is funny for a bookkeeper. Most people wouldn't think that. And I used to think, oh, if I was just that, I've really let that go for myself, but it took some work to let that envy go. Because I've really come to trust that all of us have the same ability to be successful if we're leaning on our strengths and aware of our challenges. And I think that's really the key piece to it. My connector friend, she does this work too. And she loves rulers. She's always jealous of rulers. Because she wishes she had more of that energy. And it's kind of like we're attracted to the opposite of what we have sometimes. But she's an incredible connector. You know, there are rulers that would love her connector side, where people come back and do business with her over and over and over and over and over and over again, you know? So we all have our strengths, and it's about leaning into what our strengths are. That's where our success is.
Kelly, does knowing your archetype help you make better financial decisions in like your business or even in your personal life?
There's a couple reasons why. It primarily comes down to that strength piece. It all comes down to that strength piece, but there are different exercises I use with it that help bring it out. So let's say somebody's got what I'll call a money leak in their business. Let's say they're struggling with their pricing and they're always discounting the fee before the person's asked for a discount. Like they say their fee and then they get scared and they discount it. And that could come from a few different archetypes. The nurturer might be guilty of that one. And so we'll talk about like their strengths. Like you provide such valuable service, you know, you're needed. If you're discounting everything, you're discounting your value. And like, so we can talk about that in that particular situation and say, how could we make a different choice about that? And it takes a little work, but that's that mindset work that comes behind it and leaning on their strengths. It's like mindset on steroids in a way, because it's not just having like the cookie cutter mindset stuff. It brings in your aligned, authentic strengths that can amplify that and really support you even more so than just picking a generic affirmation, which I love too. But it really will amplify that and lean on your strengths. So there's a lot of different exercises I pull in like that. Another one that comes to mind, I do one around creating a new money story. And it brings in this work. And one of the questions in creating it, we've done this in Sabrina's world. Mm-hmm. One of the tricky questions in creating a new money story is around wealth. What do you think about affluence and wealth? What does being wealthy say about you? And the stuff that comes up during those questions is what's blocking us. And so that can come up. And then as we go through it, it's like, you know, we will have a statement that brings out your gifts and what are your strengths and really affirming those. So it's sometimes we have to unearth, like, you know, Sarah mentioned, like, root out the issue. Sometimes we have to unearth that. And then the archetypes can come in and provide that strength that's really true to you. And it just hits in a different way than when we don't have that. I feel like it just, it's like being seen, you know, it's like, oh, that's so true to me. And it just anchors in better than I think when we don't have that information, we don't know our archetypes.
I remember now that you're talking about that, I remember that exercise and I think that was the one. And you're like, how would it feel if you had like $20,000 extra? And then you like kept going and kept building it. And I remember some people were like getting super stressed out and I'm like, give me all the money. I want it all.
Sarah was raising her hand like, oh, I might have been stressed out.
That was me. I had a lot of anxiety thinking about that amount of money. I'm like, oh my God, I got, and what it feels to me is when you've got that kind of money, it means you really had to work really, really hard to get that money. Yeah. And to me, that was just more stress in my life. And, but for Kelly, it meant complete opposite, which is just, I love this type of work. Unearthing
and
all
that's
of this.
Where, isn't that nice to do it in a group too? Mm-hmm. Because you can reflect that differently than if you're just looking at your own stuff. Sometimes we get so blind to our stuff, but people can act like a mirror or a reflection. So even though you guys were so different, because you know Kelly so well and she knows you so well, she could see you in your stuff and be like, well, no, that's, you know, and help you get through it. And that process of like, that's true with entrepreneurs in general. Like, this is not an easy gig sometimes. Like, this is as much as I talk about how much I love the personal development, there's challenges with it. And if we feel like we're all alone on our little island suffering and we're the only ones that don't know it, and that's a big thing that comes up for people too, in this space. I don't know how to do numbers. I'm not great with math. I can't do the financial side of my business. That's a huge block for people. And they all think they're the only ones that think that. Everybody else knows what they're doing. I'm the only one that doesn't have this figured out. I'm the only one struggling with this. And that is such a lie, you know, that we tell ourselves. And when we get into community and we share, it's like, oh, you feel that too. And then hear from somebody else that felt that way, but has overcome that. Oh, there's a pathway through that. It's that's where a special level of empowerment can come from when we're in community together. And like, we can get out of the story of like, I could never overcome this and I'm the only one. And you can just drop some shame. That's a big thing with money, is shame. Mm-hmm. We carry around with debt or family stories, or, you know, you were a little kid and you lost the money, you know, that you had to go to the store and you got shamed for that. Or like, it can come from anywhere. Something your parents repeated over and over again, a mistake you saw them made. We carry all this weight and shame and judgment. And what I know for sure is we can't move forward if we're still carrying that. We have to find ways to let it go and drop it, tell a new story, affirm something new for ourselves. And that's the pathway through. And it's certainly a lot. Even if somebody could make it with all that weight, it's a much harder work, much bigger struggle than if we drop it. And I think too, if we hold on to all that and don't do the work, even if we made the money, it finds a way back out the door. And if we clear that way, let go of the judgment and shame and tell new stories, then we get a chance to, you know, really build the future that we want. Yeah.
This was awesome. If anyone is listening and have never heard of the sacred money archetypes, or they want to, is there a quiz? I think you said you had a quiz on your website.
Yeah. There's an assessment on there. Yep.
And they can find out what archetype they are, right?
Yes.
We should put that in the show notes.
I offer a couple per month of, you know, 20-minute readings and free. And then there's also ways, like if they're very intrigued by this, I have a few different options of how we can go deeper. And then, of course, I've got it offered in with my bookkeeping and things like that that I've shared.
I did the 20-minute, and it's just, I mean, I think if anybody out there is questioning, that was awesome. Like, we just kind of walked through them, and it's very valuable.
Get to be seen.
Yeah. It's good to know where that part of you, like, clarity. as to what it is that is your driving force when it comes to money, because money is such a huge, huge part of business owners that they either struggle or they love. I mean, it just helps unearth, like we said, what those struggles are and those challenges. If you could give one piece of advice to anybody who's just starting their conscious business journey and feel a little scared about money, what would it be?
To know they're not alone. So what would be the one thing is to face it, you know, to start learning about it, to start doing the work. We don't have to do this in big, huge shifts. It doesn't have to be huge epiphanies and, you know, jumping off a cliff, you know, and leaping into the future. Like, we don't have to do it all in these big, bold moves. Some people are big and bold and that's the way they go. But for all of us, just get started, read a book, take an assessment, book a call, you know, get online and Google it. Just start the work somewhere and trust your intuition. That's going to lead you to the next step and the next step and the next step. And just be willing to think differently, be willing to change your mind about it, be willing to accept that you can be successful in this way, that this can be there for you, and be curious about it.
Yeah.
I love that you brought your intuition into that, because a lot of business owners have gut feelings and you have to trust those gut feelings, even though you feel like it's not what you think you should be doing, but the gut tells you, it knows. And I love that intuition piece. And if you are starting to read or think about something that comes easy is meant to be.
Yeah.
Something that is hard is not. And I think everybody needs to hear that every once and again, that when it comes easy to you, it's for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. And I think the more I trust my intuition and get out of my brain, the more I trust it, the happier I am, the more successful I am, the easier it gets. And sometimes it can feel like a big, scary decision. But when you learn to trust it, when you get a little evidence that that's the way to go, then it gets easier and easier to trust it and make those big decisions, big, scary decisions. But you don't just start there.
No.
You start with little ways. Yeah.
No. And I've said that before, trust the process. Like, even though you're like, this is really scary. Nope. Just trust the process. Yeah. That's one of my favorite phrases is trust the process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just made me think of one more that I'd love to share. So many of us get stuck in perfectionism. We want to know the whole path that's going to lead to our success. And we want it to be guaranteed if possible. And it just doesn't happen that way. We take a step and another step and another step, and the next one appears. And that's how we build what's authentic to us and what, you know, what is right and where we'll be successful. We can try to grab somebody else's map and follow it, but it's not going to be for us. And so, be willing to take the next step that's right in front of you. Take the next right step and the next right step and the next right step and trust that that path will unfold. It always does, but it's hard to take that first step when you want it to be perfect and laid out for you and, you know, mapped out. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. And when you've got social media and you've got influencers and you've got other other photographers that are phenomenal and doing very well, and you try to put yourself into that and it just doesn't work because maybe it's not your path. Maybe that is not meant for you. Maybe something else is. And that's where photographers, I think, get in their own head and get in their own way.
And then the comparison piece, you know, they decide that, you know, and that might be a comparison that's based in reality, or it might be a comparison that's based on somebody else's highlight reel, you know, and so that's a real dangerous place to be, to get into that. Well, so-and-so is doing that and I should be. And it just, you know, just doesn't work that way. Yeah. It's not reality. Yeah.
Sarah, was there any other questions you wanted to ask, or can we go into the non-negotiable?
Go into the non-negotiable.
Okay.
We're at an hour.
So Kelly, we always ask this question and I'll kind of explain it. So what is your one non-negotiable thing in your business or personal life? And mine is having a housekeeper come once a week. That's just something I won't give up. And Sarah's is using AI. So we're wondering if there's something that you're like,
gosh, I have to have one.
Or you can have as many as you want, but at least one.
Yeah.
My very specific work one is I won't do business bookkeeping anymore without my client portal and workflow manager tool. Like that's just, you could take everything away from me with that. I do believe we've started getting the office clean now, and I don't think I'm ever going back on that one. I have negotiated on that one before and it didn't make me happy. So my office cleaner is very important. I would say the biggest one for me is I'm just not ever going to do my life by somebody else's playbook. Like I'm just never going to be put in a box again. I'm unemployable at this point. I'm not going to be an employee. You know, I have got to be able to do it my way and treat my clients the way I want to treat my employees, the way that feels right to me. And it's authenticity. So I guess we landed on mine. That's my number one.
I actually really love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. And that makes sense for you.
Yeah. So you.
Thank you.
So you. Well, I could talk to Kelly all day. Like we could sit and talk and all the things.
I could do it too.
I know. So how can our listeners find you? I think you're on Instagram.
Yeah. I have an Instagram. I'm assuming we'll put all that in the show notes, right? The Instagram. Yep. I have a Facebook group. It hasn't been hugely active, but you never know when I might get back to that. And that's Prosperous and Profitable Conscious Entrepreneurs. And those are probably the best two places to hang out. Other than that, book a call. I have a couple of different options that you can connect with me. I love to be in other people's groups and share with them. So if somebody needs some support in their groups and adding this value there, I'd love to do that. Reach out. I'm there. I'm accessible.
Yes. Thank you, Kelly. This was amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome. I highly recommend you give Kelly a follow and find out your archetype and let us know. We would love to know what your guys' archetypes are. So until next time, guys, we'll meet you in the next episode.